Our Lord in the Gospel today gives us a parable about the Word of God and how different people receive it in different ways and with different results. And he also gives the reason each person got different results from hearing the truth. So our job today is, first of all, to understand each of these four categories of people that our Lord describes and to figure out which one we fit into. And hopefully it's the last category, the one that falls on good ground. But even if we aren't the good ground right now, we will see how we can turn ourselves into good ground so that we will bear fruit. First of all, there are the people represented by the seed falling by the wayside. They are trodden underfoot by men, and the devil takes the word out of their hearts. The devil works against all of us to take the word of God out of our hearts. And if we don't defend ourselves with spiritual weapons, he will succeed, and it'll be our fault because we have to take care of the word of God. The devil tries to keep people from hearing the word of God in the first place. He'll say to them, "What is the point of listening to the sermon? You already know your faith. You already know what the priest is going to say." And so many people don't pay attention to the sermon. They are distracted. They're thinking about something else. Or if they do hear the sermon, they think it doesn't apply to them. Or another trick the devil uses is to downplay the words that people do hear. He'll tell people that hell is not really as bad as the priests say that it is. And if so many people go there anyway, how can it really be that bad? Or he'll make someone think that they have plenty of time to put their soul in order. They really don't need to get all upset about death right now. They're in perfect health and they're too busy to go to confession anyway. And they don't even really want to turn away from their sins. These are the people who allow the devil to take the good seed out of their hearts. The second group is the ones who hear the word of God with joy, and they practice for a while, but as soon as they're tempted, they give up. These people are better than the first group because they love what they hear, but they don't love it enough. People like this are strongly affected by some sermon that strikes them, and they realize the terrible state of their soul. And they go to confession, and they make a good repentance. They receive a valid absolution. They're truly sorry for their sins at the time of their confession. And so a little seedling springs up in their hearts. But this seedling doesn't grow because their hearts are rocky. In other words, they're too rigid, too inflexible to change their lives. And their repentance, while it was sincere at the time, was superficial. People like this reject their sins, but usually not the occasions of sin. They're not willing to get rid of the things that lead them to sin. And they deceive themselves about these things and tell themselves that they won't be occasions of sin anymore. For example, these people might be sorry for their sins of impurity. They're not really that people after all. But they refuse to get rid of the bad television shows or the bad movies that suggest these things to them in the first place. Or they continue to hang around friends who constantly talk about impure things and lead them into sin. In a lot of cases, especially when someone has habits of sin that are deeply ingrained in their souls by long periods of time spent committing them frequently, people have to make significant changes in their lives to get rid of those habits and overcome their sins. And the people our Lord is speaking about here are not willing to do that. It's like the classic example of the alcoholic, the person who can't drink in moderation. He can tell himself that He'll only drink moderately in the future. But deep down, he knows that he can't do that. The only way for him to stop getting drunk is to stop drinking completely. And he doesn't want to do that. These people tell themselves that they'll stop committing only the actual sin itself, but they'll leave everything else in place that might not be seriously sinful in itself, but which leads them to commit that sin. Of course, we know from Catechism that something that leads us into sin is called an occasion of sin. And it's sinful for us to put ourselves in an occasion of sin unnecessarily, even if the occasion itself isn't inherently wrong. It's not a sin for someone to have a TV set, for example. But if someone knows from experience that he will continue to watch bad movies or television, despite his best intentions in confession, then as soon as he realizes that, he is obliged to get rid of his TV. Otherwise, he can't be forgiven because he's not truly sorry. And if a priest sees that someone is in an occasion of sin like that, he can't absolve the person unless they promise to get rid of that occasion. These are the people who lose their souls because they are rocks. They're too rigid in their daily habits to allow the word of God into their hearts, to penetrate deeply into them, like the roots of a plant. The last group of people who reject the word of God are the ones who again receive the word of God well, and it strikes root in their hearts, but in this case, it's choked by the world and by its cares and its pleasures. We all probably know people like this. They're good in natural terms. They are open to the word of God. They like what they hear. But they are too occupied with the world to spend time on God. These people are usually very good people in the eyes of the world. They're honest in business. They're good to their neighbor. They try to forgive their enemies. They pay their debts. And they're faithful to their spouses and to their families. And in the eyes of the world, they're doing everything right, and they're wonderful people. What they are good people, but they're not good enough. They're not good enough for God or even for heaven. The problem is that they have no time for God. They don't pray or hardly at all. They either don't go to church at all, or if they do, they only go because they have to. They go without devotion. They leave as soon as possible, and they get nothing out of it. If they practice any religion at all, it's only on a very minimal level. And the reason they do these things is because they're more interested, as our Lord says, in the cares and riches and pleasures of the world than they are about God. These people always have good excuses for why they can't say the rosary every day, or why they can't go to church every Sunday, and so on. But all their excuses amount to being choked by the world. They need to understand that they are not put in this earth to work at a job, or to make money, or to even to take care of their family, or to follow all of the various amusements and pastimes that the world is full of. No, we are put here to know, love, and serve God and be happy with Him forever in heaven. We are finite creatures. We only have so much room in our heart for the things that we love. We only have so much time in the day, only so many things we can think about and pay attention to. If the world occupies all or most of these limited resources, then we are in this category, and we will lose our souls even if we think that we're not getting into any really serious trouble. Because if we don't have time for God on earth, how is God going to have eternity for us in heaven? It makes no sense. We want to be in the last category, Those people who hear the word of God with joy and then change their lives to conform themselves to it, and they take practical and efficacious means to keep themselves out of sin, to say their prayers every day, to love God, to want to learn about him, to want to hear his word. And they do this with perseverance, not just for a while, but for always. Now, what do we do if we have examined our consciences and find ourselves in one of the first three categories, one of the ones that we don't want to be in? How do we turn ourselves into good ground and to produce fruit? Well, we have the means of grace. We have the Mass and the sacraments and so on. If we use these things willingly and are open to making big changes in our lives, then we will see a lot of improvement. And I particularly want to recommend spiritual reading as a means of improvement. Spiritual reading really lays the foundation of the spiritual life in our souls. And when we are starting out with very little in the way of spiritual life, that's what will get us started. Spiritual reading teaches us about God. It teaches us about God's love for us and why we should love him. It teaches us how we should pray, and it puts ideas in our minds that we can then express to God in prayer. The more we know about God, just like anything else, the easier it is to think about him in prayer. We can't think about something that we don't know about. And learning about God's goodness will just automatically make us love him. Spiritual reading gives us all of these things. It gives us the tools without which we really can't have a real spiritual life. Now, some people do well with a book on their nightstand that they read for a few minutes before they go to sleep. But I think that model is becoming less and less practical for most people. We're getting more and more used to absorbing information from hearing and watching video, like hearing the news on the radio or watching it on television, for example. And reading is just not a good way for people to absorb information anymore. Now, some people will say that this is a good thing because people are learning more. Some will say that the decline of books is the decline of literacy and civilization. That doesn't matter. This is a practical problem that we have, how to get our spiritual reading done. And so we should just do what works and not worry if it makes civilization decline. I don't think it will anyway. Now, fortunately, we live in a time when it's very easy to find audiobooks of devotional literature in great abundance on the internet, most of it for free. Most of the great writings of the saints are available for free in audio form, and we can also find recordings of good Catholic sermons to listen to that will teach us about God. You might be wondering how this solves the problem. When are we supposed to listen to this stuff? We don't have time anyway. Well, most people spend a lot of time in their car every day, going to work and back, running errands, and so on. And when people are driving, they really can't do anything else except listen and maybe talk. So a lot of people either listen to the radio in the car or listen to music, which is mostly worldly, or they talk on the phone, hopefully with a Bluetooth device so they don't get a ticket. Well, all this time can be better spent listening to beautiful spiritual instruction on our souls. And it really amounts to a lot of time for most people, I think, once you pay attention to how much time you spend in the car. And people can absorb a huge amount of information that way once they start. So we can do our spiritual reading almost automatically. Doesn't take any time at all. We would be driving anyway. It's easy and pleasant. It takes no effort at all. And it's how we're used to learning, so we retain what we hear. Most newer cars have the equipment to do this already built in. And any older car can easily be adapted for this with just a gadget or two. And everyone either knows how to play audiobooks in their car, or knows a teenager who would be happy to help them with it. I've been doing this myself for the last few months, listening to sermons and talks mostly from the True Restoration website. And I've learned a huge amount. And I've noticed that my own spiritual life improved as well. Because when you listen to these things, you hear about some devotion or some mystery of our faith, and you hear it explained and analyzed, and it's interesting. And you think about it later, and then you think about it when you're praying. You're less distracted. So I really recommend all of you to try this, and if you need any recommendations for where to download this stuff from, just ask me or someone else who does this here, and we'll be happy to give you some suggestions. So with Lent coming up, we should really take this gospel to heart and think about what kind of seed we are so that we can make sure we are the good ground that gives fruit in abundance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.